Well, I'd kind of like to give an invitation. I want to invite you to open a trust fund.
Oh,
that. Yeah. I'm not a banker, but I can tell you what I'm banking on.
There's your trust.
Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I'm just so thoroughly enjoying letting God direct my path. I guess if you'd have to pick out something as to be Jesse and I's favorite thing about being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus, we have so much fun trusting in the Lord. And I'll explain as I go along, but I want you to be aware of something, that there's a difference between trusting God and trusting in God. Okay? It sounds the same, doesn't it? But there's a vast difference between trusting someone and trusting in someone. Because the trusting in has to do with the character. Trusting someone, I could hand them my briefcase full of money and say, now I'm going to trust you to watch this until I come back. The roads get slick. We trust our tires to stick to the road. or if you saw a rope bridge across a cavern, you say, well, I don't know if I can trust that rope or not, whether I can trust this bridge or not. You're not trusting in the bridge. You're just trusting the elements of the bridge. Is the rope strong enough? Are these boards going to break and let me fall in the canyon below? But to trust in the Lord is totally different, in that you can actually trust Him with what you don't even know you're trusting Him with. Job put it this way, even though He slay me, I will still trust in Him. In other words, you're so confident in who He is, what He has said, you've tested His character. Trust takes time to build. You don't build trust in a moment. And so it's this proving and proving and proving. And God said, prove me. And so we do, and we believe, and we, over time, it's like, you know what, it don't matter what. That's become Jesse and I's favorite thing now, is it don't matter what it is. I don't know, I've never really studied trust funds, I've just heard people talk about them. But sometimes when you open a trust fund, the person who put the money into the trust can't even get it back out, because it's actually a closed trust. That's the way we like to trust the Lord. In other words, when we've put something into the trust fund, and we're believing God, we're believing some promise that He has made, and we turn that over to Him, then we never go back to look at it, or to go get it, or to see what's happening with it. You know, I know growing up, I learned to trust the Lord at a young age. And the way I always enjoyed doing it was I would let Him take one end and I would take the other end, as long as I had some control. Letting you have it, kinda.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda. That's not what He wants. No. He wants us to so believe in Him, to believe in His love, to believe that all things work together for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. To believe that so completely that we can put things in trust, just turn it over to Him, and then just leave it there. Don't go look at it. Is this coming along? Not only does trust take time, but sometimes when you put things in trust, it's a long time before it comes to maturity. And so you also have to be patient in waiting for that. But if it's in a trust, if you're actually put it, you're trusting in the Lord about this particular thing, then you don't have to do anything with it. Okay, so Psalm 40 and verse 4 said, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. This particular blessed, happy, to be envied, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor, and also to be lifted above contrary circumstances. Once you put things in the Lord, and you trust in the Lord, then God can lift you up. And actually, you can watch these things almost like watching a movie going on. I mean, you can see everything going wrong, and yet you know it's going right. So we don't live by sight. We live by faith, and we trust in the Lord. So blessed is the man, or lifted above contrary circumstances, is the man who makes the Lord his trust. So you see what I'm saying? When I'm saying trust in the Lord, don't just trust the Lord. There's a big difference when you begin to experience that, and I know you have. This over and over again, we've experienced these things. You know, we've believed, we've left it with the Lord. And fact is, we don't even care to know the outcome. What's the outcome going to look like? When I trust in the Lord, I don't care what the outcome looks like. Because I know whatever He does will be so perfect that I couldn't have even guessed what it would be if I would have tried, let alone trying to tell Him how to do it. And so that's the kind of trust that I'm talking about. And like I said, Jesse and I we love it because we can turn it over knowing, just absolutely knowing that He's going to do that good thing. Okay? Trust requires patience, James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we have this patience in the waiting for the end result, what God's going to do. This good God.
That's right.
A lot of people that dread, we just don't know what God's going to do. It's like a dread. And it's because they don't live in fellowship with God. They don't have any idea, you know. It's like, oh my, if I commit my life to Christ, no telling what He'll do with me. You know, it's a dread. When you trust in the Lord with this believing, believing in His love, the Scripture's real plain in the believing side of this, and believing has a lot to do with trust. Okay, when we believe, we're moving these things in to Christ Himself. The trust fund, He is the trust. When I first came into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I was trying to memorize all of the Scriptures so I could believe for healing, prosperity, miracles, you know, all the different things. And then I discovered that I didn't have to believe in all those things. Because Jesus said, when they asked Him, how do we work the works of God? He said, believe on Him whom He has sent. And over again in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, He says, if you believe in Me, My Father and I will do the work. You can ask anything. If you believe in Me, ask whatever you will. If you believe in Me, the things I do, you'll do, and greater than these you will do. So I don't have to believe in the things. I have to believe in the person. Okay? So that brings us back to trust. I trust in the person. I don't trust just in what He does. And I don't have to sit around and wait to see what He does to help my believing. He doesn't have to do anything to enhance my believing because I believe in Him. I love the miracles. I love the healings. God just healed me from the time I was here last time. I had pneumonia, and God miraculously healed me. And I praise God for that. I mean, in a moment, it was gone. And I was in excruciating pain, and then it was gone. I love the things that God does. But it's not because I believe in the things He does, but I believe in Him. And Jesus kept trying to bring us back to that. He said, now you can believe because of the works, but I'd rather you believe what I'm telling you. And if you believe in me, you'll believe in Him. If you don't believe in Him, you won't believe in me. And if you don't believe Him, you won't believe me. If you don't believe me, you won't believe Him. In other words, Jesus wanted to simplify this whole thing down into a simple believing. And so the trust then comes because we believe in Him. And now our trust is in Him. He saved me. How will He not with His Son freely give us all things? Can I trust Him then to take care of everything?
Put the trust in Him and not try and do it yourself.
That's right. Or hanging on to the one end.
Right.
Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, or testing, actually the Greek word would be there, has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tested above what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, if we really believe that God is faithful, then we can put our trust in Him, because that's a part of the character. I'm believing that God is faithful to His Word, that God is faithful to His nature, that God is faithful to His character. God's faithful to everything. And as I've told you so many times, that we're not testable, okay? So He's not talking about us passing the test. Only what He has put in me is testable. Okay? So it's His Word that He's put in me. That's testable. His Spirit, that incorruptible seed that's in me, now that's testable. The Holy Spirit that He's put in me, that's testable. See? The love that He's put in me, the faith He's put in me, all of that's testable. The power that He's put in me, the authority He's put in me, that's testable. And what He's saying here is that's all I can test, is what I put inside of you. Now, if we believe that, then we can trust Him. No matter what the situation I'm put in, I can trust Him. Because I know that He's already put everything in me that's needed. I hear so many people saying, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, of course you can't. And the confirmation of it is in John 14:15-16, because Jesus said, I don't do it. My Father does it. I don't do any of it. My Father does it. So if you can do it, you're better than Jesus. Because Jesus said, I don't do it. I can't do anything without the Father. So why should we sit around and fret whether we can do it or not? The question is, can the Father do it? Can the Father do it? Can Christ in me actually accomplish this? A guy asked me the other day, Saturday night, he's up against some demonic activity, and he's really not sure. He said, I've never done anything like this. And he said, I've just really left the guy alone because I don't want to get into something I don't know about. He turned to me. We had never met before. He turned to me and he said, have you ever done anything like that? I said, all the time. He said, well, are you afraid? I said, I'm not the one that's afraid. It's the demons that tremble. When I show up, demons tremble. I'm not afraid of anything. The fact is, I love it. And the more demon-possessed a person is, the more I love it. Because I know demons have to obey me. Mm-hmm. Getting people to repent sometimes is difficult. But getting demons to obey me is no problem. Because I know how terrified they are. Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee as though terror-stricken. Mm-hmm. So if we understand them, it's not us. Okay? So what do? We put our trust in Him who is faithful, who will never allow us to be in a situation we can't handle. Never, never, never will He ever allow you to be in a situation that He can't handle. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. Why can I trust Him? Well, because the sun comes up in the morning. Because everything He's done so far has been perfect. And so, any situation I get into, I know He's in charge. And everything is in perfect timing.
That's right.
Stars are in perfect timing. The sun's in perfect timing. All of creation is in perfect timing. Therefore, I can trust Him because He's my Creator. And I'm a new creation in Christ. So the creation is trusting the Creator. It's so fun because you know you're going to win. But for me to trust God, I know I'm going to come out the winner every time. And so it's fun to enter into this activity. There's things going on. And sometimes you've prayed for something. And as far as you can see, it's just you and God dealing with this thing. God's up there looking at 10 different people and saying, how can I work all of this together so this gets done and this gets blessed and this gets worked? And God's looking at all these details and we don't even have any idea that is going on. That's why we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him because as far as we're concerned, it's just between Him and I. See, it's never just between you and Him. God's looking at this big picture, and you know, how many people can He draw in and get involved in this thing? 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. In other words, He said, I started, now I'm going to finish it. Philippians 1:6, isn't it? He who's begun a good work in you will complete it. And so I can actually commit to Him who started this work in me. I can trust everything to Him that He's going to bring me through. It doesn't matter what it is, see? Because God isn't afraid of anything. And if we just allow Him to work it out, and work it in, because He's working it in us, as the other scripture said, He's perfecting or making us complete. He's developing us. This life here isn't all there is to it. This is just the getting ready. We have eternity to be who God makes us to be here on the earth. And so we need to take every opportunity to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not lean on our own understanding. Acknowledge Him and let Him direct our path. And that path goes some pretty crazy ways sometimes. But it's okay as long as you're trusting in Him. Now, if I have a hope, I'm not talking about the hope that's a result of faith, but if I have a hope, a forlorn hope actually, that God's possibly, maybe, going to work this out, I'm in real trouble. And I'd better watch out for myself. But if I really put my trust in God, there is a hope, a joyful, confident expectation of Him bringing me through whatever it is, and in the meantime, many people are going to be touched and blessed, encouraged, And by the way, that includes satanic attacks. You need to know that because Satan is on the loose. He is doing everything he can to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's working overtime because he's got a short time. But it's okay. Why? Because I put my trust in God. I got whacked with this pneumonia. And I don't think I'm supposed to have pneumonia. But I hurt. It was a real hurt. But in the midst of it, I called some new people baptized in the Holy Spirit. They prayed for me and God miraculously healed me. Their faith jumped 90%. Do I want pneumonia next week so more people can get blessed? No. You know, but I don't always choose the situation. But on the other hand, I don't know who is going to be affected, whose faith is going to be skyrocketed. You know, when I had the stomach ulcer, people came that didn't even think they had anything to offer, you know, other than sympathy to pray for me, and their prayers were answered. You know, do I want a stomach ulcer? Absolutely not. And I know, you know, Satan put it on. In fact, Satan was trying to kill me. Mm-hmm. On that Monday, I really felt, and I could actually see spirits in my room running around, and I wasn't hallucinating. They were real, and they were there to kill me, and all the staff just went wacky. I was so sick that I couldn't even pray. I couldn't even hardly breathe. Couldn't drink water. It stuck in my throat. I really felt like I was dying. And people came in and prayed. They were amazed that God heard their prayer. This is the reason the Son of God was made manifest, to undo, dissolve, loosen, and destroy all the work the devil has done. Can we trust God?
Yes.
Can we trust him?
Yes.
Can we trust him?
Yes.
The satanic attacks are against the body of Christ is getting horrendous. Not only that, the satanic attacks against America and around the world is horrendous. Faith in God, trust in God is going to position us to be able to help people like we've never done before. This thing's going to get really interesting. Hurricane Sandy hit New York. They say it'll take them 10 years to get that rebuilt. It won't even be 10 years before it's hit again. You know who's over there helping? The Christians. And they're coming from everywhere. See, God is making himself manifest. Who sent the storm? God? Nope. We know where those things come from. Because they've tried to come at me and I've rebuked them and they went around me. So they can't be from God. Because I can't rebuke God and I can't control God. See? So there are things, satanic activity, that's going on. You're going to have to trust in the Lord. Don't settle for a less level, as I told you earlier, trying to trust God. Because in order to do that, you're going to have to tell him how to do it and what you're trusting him for. Trust in the Lord, and then you don't have to know about any part of it. All you have to do is believe in him, and he'll carry us through. He will show you. He'll give you revelation. He'll give you scripture. He'll give you everything you need at the moment. Jesus said, when you're taken to trial, don't meditate ahead of time what you're going to say. My Heavenly Father will speak. And you'll know exactly what to say. You'll know exactly what to do. Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. Notice that every time it says in you or in the Lord, doesn't say trust God, but trust in the Lord, will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Now, the word seek here is real unique, because it's not like when you used to play hide-and-go-seek. It's not like find a new dress or buy a new car. I think I will go seek out. This particular word means to require by necessity. In other words, either God comes through or it doesn't get done. That's the way King David lived. I'm going to leave this with you, Lord. Live or die, I'm believing you. I put my trust in you. So he's never forsaken those. Or another way to putting it back to kind of our illustration is those who no longer have to hold on to one end of whatever it is that you're trying to put in the trust fund. When you can actually shove it on in and turn loose of it and let go of it and walk away. Jesse and I are having a lot of fun praying for people for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Our favorite way of doing it, sometimes we lay hands on people and minister to them right on through. But my favorite way is to lay hands on them, pray for them, get them to pray and ask, and then I send them out. I say, just go park your car somewhere. One guy just barely made it down into his car, got in the car, shut the door, and God baptized him in the Holy Spirit. One lady actually made it about three blocks and pulled into a little place in the side of the road there, overlooking the lake, and there she went, speaking in tongues. You know, I used to only do that with ministers, and now I'm just doing it with everybody because I love to minister. I'm doing the same thing with healing. I love to just lay hands on them, pray for them, and leave. I don't stay around to see what's going to happen. Why? Because I trust God. I trust God to do that. Well, God, I kind of trust you with this, but I really want to stay around and make sure you get it done right.
Yeah.
A little. But what if we could lay hands on someone and send them off and say, don't tell anyone. It's just, you know, go. And as they were going, they're healed. So, Psalm 18:30. As for God, here it goes, his way is perfect. There again, that word perfect is, no, he's going to cover all the detail. It means complete. He's not going to leave out any detail. That's why Jesse and I love to trust in the Lord. Because he covers things that I don't think about. His way is perfect.
Yes.
Can I trust in him? Can I trust his faithfulness, his character? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The word of the Lord is proven. Remember we said trust takes time, takes proving. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. What do you put your trust in? Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Notice carefully what it says here. It doesn't say we will remember what God did. It said we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember the woman in Jericho, the harlot that was there? What did she talk about when she said, I think I want to be on your side. We've heard of the name of your God. Yeah, they'd heard all of the detail of the stuff. What are they referring it to here? Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember. That goes back to the Red Sea. The naysayers, theologian we had over here in Kansas City, Elliot was his name, said it wasn't the Red Sea at all. It was the Reed Sea. And it only had 4 inches of water in it. And of course, we always laughed and said, that's really funny how all those people drowned in 4 inches of water.
That's a greater miracle than you thought.
Yeah. But they found the chariot wheels in 80 feet of water. They said, we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. We don't just remember what he did. And he's also name the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He wasn't the God who did things. He was the God of people who believed in him. See where we're going with this? We trust in the Lord. We believe in his name. Then your trust will be secure. You can put anything in this trust fund that you want. Put it in there and leave it. Why? Because God's proven. His word's proven. Everything he's done. We remember his name. And if you haven't done so, get two real good books on the names of God. One's in a kind of a daily devotion. You can get it on your iPad or your Kindle. And you ought to be looking at a name of God every day. And in a year's time, you can almost cover the names of God. Remember, Jesus said, you ask the Father whatever you want in my name, I will do it. You ask the Father in my name. In other words, you put the need and the name together, and he said it'll get done. You can put that in the bank. You can put that one in a trust fund. And walk away and leave it. And our God, our living God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will take good care of your trust fund. Psalm 44, verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. Psalm 31, 14. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Psalm 25:2. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. And I love that one, because Satan is doing everything he can to steal, to kill, and destroy. I put my trust in the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. A lot of ministry to ministers. And so many times I've had to wake them up, because they get so busy doing church and Christianity and all of the activities of Christianity. And somewhere along the line, they forget that we serve the living God. Oh my, our finances are going down. People are leaving the church. What are we ever going to do? We serve a living God. I remember one man we was listening to had a church, I forget how many thousand people, that God spoke to him and said, I want you to rearrange the church. I would like to be pastor of the church. And if I'm pastor of the church, here's the way I would like to do it. And so he announced it to the people, thousands of people, and all but 200 people left him. Big building. Finances, all of it, up in the air. And he decided to trust in the Lord and just watch and see what God did. And God took this plan that he had, and he began to work his plan, and this pastor just started being the under-shepherd. Just whatever Jesus said, let's do it this way, let's do it this way. And then the church began to grow, many times bigger than it was before. I was speaking at a church in Jackson, Mississippi. They had already invited me, so it was like ahead of time, I forget, maybe a month ahead of time, that they'd invited me to come up and speak. I get up there, and they said, oh, we shouldn't have scheduled you for this Sunday, because last Sunday half of our church left. I said, that's the most wonderful news I've ever heard in my life, because God just already showed me the part that left needed to leave. I said, the part that's left over is going to be God's part. I said, watch what happens. I was there on Saturday. On Sunday, the place was overflowing. I trust in the Lord. I think He's a pretty good pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Okay, I trust Him with my life. And I quoted this verse earlier, but let's read it. Job 13:15. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before Him. Hallelujah. Even if He slays me, don't make me any difference. Because I have a new life, I have a new body. Whatever God's purpose, whatever fulfills His purpose. We have two good examples. They took James, put him in prison, and killed him. Right after that, they took Peter, put him in prison, and God delivered him out of prison. Which one was right? Both of them. Why? Because they trusted in God. They trusted in the Lord. Paul said, whether I live or die, it doesn't bother me. Psalm 56:11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Jesus said, don't fear the man that can kill you. Don't fear him. What can man do to me? I remember years ago, the old Pacific Garden Missions radio program. That was way back. I used to listen to it every day. I remember the head of Pacific Garden Missions, the minister in charge of it, and I think that was in Chicago. Anyway, he loved to walk to the mission. And a couple of thugs saw him going toward the mission, and so they grabbed him off the sidewalk and rolled him down an embankment and had a gun on him and said, we want your money. And he smiled at him and said, that's fine. You can have my money. And if you want to kill me, that's fine too. But before you do, I'd like to talk to you a minute. He led both of them to the Lord. One of them became treasurer of Pacific Garden Mission. You think he trusted in the Lord?
Yes.
What can man do to me? What if you had no fear of man? What could you accomplish if you had no fear of man, or you could care less what people thought about you? What could you accomplish for the kingdom? That'll tell you, see. Have you really opened up your trust fund? Put everything in the trust fund? Have you put your life in there? Or do you grab it out every once in a while? Well, I kind of live my own stuff here, you know. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. Yes, right here on the earth. Right here. Right now. I put my trust in Him. Psalm 71:5. For you are my hope. Now we get to the good side of hope. That joyful, confident expectation. Mm-hmm. See, if I'm trusting in God, I'm expecting good things. All of these things are going on. There's all kind of satanic activity, God activity, people activity, good, bad activity, all kinds of things stirring all the time. But you are my hope. in all of this, I have this expectation of good things. Gonna come out of it all. You are my trust from my youth. You see the wording in all of this. You are my trust. I'm not just trusting you. You are my trust. It's how we put this in Him. How we turn it over to Him. How we truly believe in Him. Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. 2 Corinthians 1:9-10. Yes, we have this sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. And Paul can talk about this because he was actually stoned to death. And God raised him up. So, yeah, we have this sentence of death. But he's not talking about when you die and go to heaven. He's talking about this thing that's constantly on us. But our God is constantly delivering us from it. Delivering us out of it. See, if you don't ever get in anything, you won't ever get out of it. But you have to get... I love T.L. Osborne's book, Soul Winning, Out Where the Sinners Are. His whole concept was, sinners don't go to church. So if we're going to lead them to the Lord, we have to go where they are. With the light, with the gospel, with the power. And of course, there's so many people, Claire Hutchins, and I could just go on and on. These people that are so powerful. They're powerful because they work out among the sinners. And the grace of God, where sin abounds, grace is much more abound. We wish we could see the power and the grace of God come into our churches. But the grace of God's really working out where the sinners are. Why? Because Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's out there working among those that are lost. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What if we knew that? What if we could really trust in Him? That He would give us all things. Scripture says if He gave His Son first, if He gave the very best first, how will He not with His Son freely give us all things? He'll take care of all of our finances. He'll direct our lives. He'll do all of those things. We don't have to tell Him to do them. We don't have to beg Him to do them. If we trust in Him, He'll get it all done. But in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So I just choose to trust in Him. Psalm 64:10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in Him. All the upright in heart shall glory. The righteous. Here again, the word righteousness is referring to relationships. Psalm 143:8, cause me to hear Your loving kindness in the morning. For in You do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to You. Back to the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your path. Psalm 5:11, let those rejoice who put their trust in You, and let them ever shout for joy, because You defend them. Let those also who love Your name be joyful in You. And so if we're constantly letting God direct our path and we're doing the will of the Father, then we're going to actually be living in a joy, His joy, the joy of the Lord. And that is going to strengthen us so that we can do all of the work of God. the more we experience that joy, the easier it's going to be for us to get the work done. Because he's going to be our strength then. And we might as well enjoy being a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
So, what I would encourage you to do, because everybody's life is different, this week, try to think of how many things you can put into your trust fund. And then release it. We let it go. And watch as God does it. And he'll do a good job. Yeah. Because it's always bigger than we think. Satan, remember with Joseph? He said, speaking to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. God will take all these situations. People have all kind of evil intent. But God is looking. I think I shared this with you one time. I was just, if you watch the news and you see just the garbage, it's almost all I can do to, you almost want to vomit watching the news. You know, I said, Father, how do you look at all of this garbage? And he said, I look at it as a manure pile. He said, you grow wonderful vegetables in a manure pile.
That's good. It's going to make something good.
Good fruit, huh?
Good fruit. Good fruit come out of manure piles.